We want to look at starting a new work. Hallelujah. You know, starting a new work. Now, I'm not an expert at this, I must say. Because I'm just growing up. So I'm not an expert. But I just want to share from the scriptures and from little experience I've had and which I've also learned from others. I learned to listen, starting a new work. In Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus said in 19 precisely, "Go therefore and teach all nations," which is the word, "make disciples of every nation, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always even to the end of the age." Now, when he said make disciples, it's a phrase they understood. Because disciples are usually made under what is called a master, a teacher, a didaskalos. That's why Paul says he learned at the feet of Gamaliel, Acts 22 verse 3. So oftentimes it's also done in the synagogue, in the temple. So when you said make disciples, it already, they understood, it meant you gather together and teach people. So Matthew's Gospel 28:19 lays a template for local assembly of saints already. And so we want to look at the wide implication of what he said, starting a new work. Now, you could say, well, I just got born again last year, and you might not think you need it, but I'm grateful to God that before I answered the call to the ministry and began to hold meetings, of course, before then had been here and there, you know, last week must have been the 11th, was it the upper week, many years now, that should be, is it 28 years that I had my first convention. I called it the Believer's Word Convention. That was the first meeting I organized and taught on revival. Hallelujah. Series of teaching like that. 28 years ago. So it's in the 29th now. And I'm so grateful before then that those who led me to the Lord just kept giving us information without knowing whether we were going to use it or not. You know, taught us about discipleship. I knew about discipleship just the week after I got saved, that you have to have a disciple if you're a Christian. Kind of wondered. That's interesting. I knew about how you must preach the gospel. So those things were already inbuilt, and one learned them. How a minister should be, what the local church should be. I wasn't even ready to pastor or ready to do anything, but the information came. Looking back now, I'm grateful that I listened. Because sometimes you may think, well, do I really need this right now? But if it's in the Great Commission, then you do. I remember some 25 years ago, I think, 25 or 24, I attended the CAP meeting of a ministry in Nigeria, and the pastor asked to speak to the deacons. Now, because usually I don't leave the auditorium during sessions. I've not asked you to do that. But I don't leave the auditorium. I stay behind. Because I don't go back to the room normally. There's nothing I go to do there. At such meetings. So I waited behind. So they moved us, because usually I'll sit in front. So they moved us to the back. That, oh, please, they want to have a meeting with the deacons. Actually, it was like a hall like this. You know, it wasn't this big, but it was fairly like half of the space. So we moved behind, or less than that. We moved behind, and then I just brought out my notes and made sure I use my satellite dish to hear, because it was a teaching session. So they began to teach. That was the first time that I knew that the deacon also is a teacher of the word. I never heard it before. So I checked it. It was there. I said, kind of interesting. So I began to listen. And listen. The kind of models they should be. I began to put it down. Not because we already had the number of people that could function like that. but I could see it in the future. Hallelujah. So sometimes you get information that you might not think you need now. But if you are in, for example, I tell people, I told them in my cell in church, my cell group in church, I said, if you are in Saints Community Church, if you are not willing to pastor Sunday, you will eventually leave. Because that's where we are headed towards for every member. You're not willing to pastor, you're not willing to oversee people and mentor them and have oversight over their lives. You cannot, you'll have to go Sunday. You'll be tired. You'll be bored. You'll just complain. You'll just look for faults and say, they're not allowing me marry. That's a normal accusation. They're not allowing people even marry me. They're not allowing me make money. So how much have you made since then? They're not allowing me travel out of the country. Did anybody seize your passport? You know, people say things like that. They begin to complain. You get it? So, you need to see that someday you need it. Because when we start talking about the office of an apostle, I read Ministry Gifts by Kenneth Hagin before I held my first convention. I wasn't going to do anything but just know. You read it. You know it. You know it. But don't say, this is for pastors. Did you see anything Paul wrote that says, if you are not yet a pastor, don't read this part? No. You open your heart to know. You must be willing to know. Hallelujah. Hosea said, you will know if you follow to know the Lord. You must know. I began to buy books, you know, like of that nature. Remember when Dr. Fred Price did a tape, and I used to go to Madison Media to, no, Madison Media, D-Cross Mission. That's where I used to get my Fred Price materials. So when they release a video on question and answers about ministry, I want to get it. So to listen, to know how to answer questions. You know, things like that. You say, for now we're just 10 members, 20 members. Are you going to remain like that? They're going to grow. The same way, when you learn in school, you don't learn in school because you are going to use it that day. But eventually you are going to use it. Is that not true? So you must be open to information. What did I say? Be open to, I'm talking about information in God's word, about the ministry, about what God is doing. Be open to information. Learn it. And so you must know. And the reason why you must know God's word is not to fight people. It's not to criticize. Some will say, discernment. Discernment. And they say the reason why they are teaching their members is for discernment. Don't teach your members for discernment. Discernment is a fruit of growth. You must know the word of God to grow. That's why some people, they talk a lot, but you know they are not making progress. Because you have to work things by their fruit. They are not making progress. I tell those of you who are leaders with me, I say to you, if your church and ministry is not growing, there's a problem. There's a problem. You can't know so much, and I'm not asking you to grow into 1 billion. No. But there must be growth. He asks you to go into all the world. There must be growth. Or else, you'll be like some people. I call them Shakabula preachers. You know Shakabula? They ain't gone. You know Shakabula makes a louder noise than AK-47. All noise. Nothing. Ask someone besides you, are you Shakabula? Ask the person. Then we say, Shakabula? Don't we just make noise? When I see them, they just like making noise.
Making noise. Just noise maker. Noise maker. Some people like to critique people's teaching. They will critique it. That this is not prayer. When you not ask them to teach prayer, they don't know prayer. Shakabula. Ding gone. You can kill rat and mosquito. Hallelujah. There's one guy who came for one of my retreats years ago. Big man of God. The guy was, the way he walked in. He was different in dressing. You know, I think they used to call him bishop or something. I forgot. I think so. And then he came. And we went to start the prayer the next day. I led the prayer. Began at 5 a.m. The first posture was to kneel down. Then he lifted his hands. He began to sing. I said, do you think we're in a concert? And we come to pray. The brother started, man of God, started doing like this. You think he's doing a road show? Or is it catwalk? After a while, he said he had to go out. He ran out. Came back in the evening. And brought big loaf of bread. Sardine and juicy. He said, by the next morning he came to meet me and said, man of God, I have a ministration. Ministration. Chakabula. All mouth. Evangelism. How are you able to go for evangelism? The wind souls. You see that all the things they say about evangelism is the outflow of the love of God to go and win souls. Let us see you win souls. Hallelujah. Go and win souls. Go and preach. When I first came to your school, some 17 years ago, I think. So we had this, what we call the Soul Winners Conference. We preached about soul winning. So, and you there were the pastors, right? You were not there. Lan was there. I'm sure, were you there? You were there. Yeah, that was the meeting we had that conversation. So, we asked them to go out on evangelism. Men of God! They were doing men of God. They came in. Evangelism. They didn't bring a soul. All of them, one that eventually spoke about a soul. He said, you know, this meeting is very good. He said, I was speaking to one of my Muslim brothers. He said he's going to come for this program. So you got people, they just make mouth. I took over a pastor some 22 years ago. The one I mentioned the other day that I did temporarily. So I took all the leaders out. Let's go and preach. They hadn't had it before because they used to do outreach. The outreach, they'll bring one former drug pusher. Sorry. Drug taker. Don't say drug pusher. A drug addict or former prostitute, the one will give testimony, then they'll give what I call. That's their own evangelism. I said, I said, how much were you spending on it? They told me then. I said, God will judge all of you. All you need to win souls is pure water. Pure water and egg roll. That's all. You are wasting money. I said, most of the people who came out in that meeting with that drug dealer or whatever, they are not saved. They are only emotional. They got saved by his testimony. So I took them out. Let's go! So we all went. We went through Ojo Elegba to Adeniro Ogusa. We were walking. They were already tired. He said, go, go. That means you have to do some walking. So we got to, and the secretary of the church, he's a chapter pastor. This is called the fellowship with them chapters. The chapter pastor. He just stood before somebody. They were just talking. The guy was just looking at him and laughing. Blowing cigarettes. Smoke to his face. He was just saying, he was like, who is preaching to who? So I just went there and said, watch what I'm about to do. He waited. So he saw me preach to the guy. The guy, I laid hands on the guy got filled with the Holy Ghost. Ah, he said, ah, that was something, sir. I said, you know what has happened now? I said, what? You are no longer a pastor. I said, because it's not good for me to deceive you. God will judge me when I deceive you. You were never a pastor. Right? Because if you're a pastor, you know how to preach the gospel. So don't let's deceive ourselves. He said, what about the secretary part? I said, they go together. Hallelujah. That was 22 years ago. So, you know, some people just make noise. It's just noise. Don't be a noisemaker. Make impact. Hallelujah. Make impact. Make impact. You don't need to show us pictures. Show us the people. Hallelujah. Don't show pictures. Show people. If you're a pastor, I can decide to be showing pictures of people, of meetings. But does that show anything? I must pay attention to the flock to see that the people I'm showing, they are real Christians. That they are serving God, they are living for God. That's my role, not to show pictures. Not to be showing people, not to be making noise. That the people I'm overseeing, they are real, genuine Christians and genuine servants of God. That should be your role. So in starting a new work, you might need this information. You are sure going to need it someday. I told you discernment should be the fruit of growth. Fruit of growth. Not the focus of a church. There are some churches, if you want to know what people are preaching in their programs, go to their services. Go to their services. If you want to know what people are doing in their ministries, listen to them. That's what they do. And people will not grow. They will just become sniffer dogs, mockers. That's what they are going to be. Growth doesn't mean that you know how to criticize. That's not growth. Anybody can criticize. Some of the things you are even saying, unbelievers say it too. Growth means you're making impact. You're birthing sons and disciples. Hallelujah. So, in making disciples, Jesus definitely has given us a commandment to start a new work. Now, let's first of all describe what the work is. Because if you don't know what the work is, you start something new, but it's going to be nonsense. What is the work of the ministry? What is it called? It must be clear in your mind what you are out to do. Because the most disastrous thing is to do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. So clear it in your mind first. What am I meant to do? That's the first thing. That must be clear in your mind. What am I meant to do? What am I called to do? A fellow was telling me that he was going to start an outreach to secondary schools. So he said he wanted to link up with an NGO who would help him with the young people in the schools about teenage pregnancy. So I said, what exactly did you plan to do? He said, you know, is to change lives. Change lives that way. He said, who gave you this kind of work to do? That's not the ministry of the gospel. That is an NGO. Make a distinction. If you want to go as an NGO, that's fine. You don't need prayer. You don't need the word of God. Because people do what you are trying to do without knowing Jesus. So, you must be clear what you really want to do. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the work of the ministry. We're talking about the work of the gospel. We're talking about the ministry that is found in the scriptures. So you must restrict yourself. They always say, the jack of all trades and master of none, which simply means that if you're just about everything, you want to do everything, you want to do everything everybody is doing, you want to do everything, then that means you don't know what you are doing. Must be very clear. What is this about? Because we trust the Lord in the days to come to multiply the works, to the works of the gospel, the works of the Spirit of God in the earth today. Hallelujah. There was someone who was complaining about a church, that the church, they don't do evangelism, that all they do is hand out flyers and newsletters. I said, fine, you may have a problem with that. But you see, when did you hand out the word? You. That should motivate you. That some people go out to hand something out. What are you handing out? Nothing. You are only there looking at others and now what they should not hand out. But I said, if they were there preaching the gospel, would you have had a problem? He said, no. Were you there preaching the gospel? He said, no. So the issue is, you are not even an example. The best way to correct something that is wrong, be the example. Be the example. Stop complaining that, oh, some churches, they don't teach the true gospel. They don't teach the Christocentric message. They don't teach the grace. They don't teach exegesis. They don't teach sound doctrine. But they are all over the place. Did they stop you from being all over the place? How come you are not taking the same initiative? That means they are passionate about what they believe in. That means they are committed to it. And we have a lot of people that just make noise. You see, people, you may not agree with what they preach, but you have to accept their labels. Accept their work. Their tireless work and attitude. You know, Paul said to Timothy, Paul knew that Timothy, listen to what I'm about to say, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 and 4. Paul knew, in the same letter, he said, Timothy learned the doctrine from him. He said that. He said he learned the doctrine from him. 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 2:2, it was clear that Paul taught him. But you know, he said something. He said, I found an unfeigned faith in your grandmother, then in your mom, and I'm persuaded it is also in you. He didn't say he found the correct interpretation of scriptures with them. He didn't say that. He didn't say I found the full gospel with them. He didn't say that. He said I found something in your grandmother. I found the same thing in your mom. Maybe we should turn in there. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 5. His first dwelt in your grandmom Louis. And thy mother Eunice. I am persuaded in you too. That is a sincere commitment and loyalty to Christ. Some of us grew up in homes where our parents ensured in the mornings we woke up to pray. At night, before we went to bed, we prayed. They gave us the best they could. They were loyal to their churches. Many of us had parents who were in churches for 30 years, right? 40 years. Stayed faithful. My dad, for example, there was this convention his father used to go to since 1940 something. He continued till he died. That kind of commitment. Paul says, I found it in your grandmom. I found it in your mom. I'm persuaded it's in you. Which means, there are attitudes we can learn and emulate. Attitudes. We can learn and emulate. People who abandon their comfort to serve God. The first thing you want to see is, what are they preaching? Do they understand Psalm 4 very well? If you understand Psalm 4, why is your commitment not like that? Mr. Psalm 4.
You see people singing. You see the lyrics are not so fine-tuned, but they are singing. You will see the obvious manifest glory of God, a result of prayers. You say, that thing, the original Greek is lababa. When you are supposed to sing in your own choir, you get late to the choir practice, you will not pray. You'll be arguing. You'll be causing strife there. It's not just lababa. It's a lababa. On faith, there are things you can learn. Commitment. I had this encounter with Prophet Obadiah, I can never forget in my life. We had a conversation. Very elderly man. I think he was in his 70s then. And I was tired. And the man got up and went to pray. The younger man, I was doing like this. I don't know. He went to pray. At that age. That commitment can be, you can learn from it. Learn that commitment. No matter how many scriptures you quote, if I see those attitudes, I just throw you away. Go away. I can't see any fruit. Can't see any fruit there. I must see fruit. Or else, the only tree that has no fruit is Christmas tree. Very fine. Giving utterance. But no fruit. You are not the Christmas tree in Jesus' name. Nobody just Christmas tree. They are for clay pots. Just for beautifying the house. Must bear fruit. Learn. So on faint faith. You saw people in the sun giving out flyers. Brother Hagin said something. He said, if we charismatics can learn from Jehovah's Jehovah, that's not what he said. That's my own. Jehovah's Witnesses. He said, the commitment by which they knock the gates. Some of them, dogs will come after them. They knock the gates. Even in countries where you don't, some people say, you know, this is America, we cannot go. And you find Jehovah's Witness people, they will come there. They will knock and say, they don't have true doctrine, they don't have true doctrine. You that have true doctrine, what have you done with your true doctrine? They will go that, and they will go with young people like that. They will, on this, and they will carry that their bag. You know that their bag, they have a bag. And they will carry that bag. And they are going, and they say, they will give it to you, they will beg, come and take now. They will persuade you. That's something you can learn from. An attitude. Look at the white garment people. They will remove their shoes, wear their white, publicly. Whatever you like, you stop criticizing them because they don't care. They don't care. They wear their white garments. Put their hat. Wear their girdle. They are going. With no shoes. We used to have a song we used to sing for Celeste in those days. I won't sing it today. And they don't care. The rich, the mighty, the intellectuals, they go like that. Unfeigned. Paul says, I'm persuaded it's in you. Because he saw in Timothy that Timothy is the person, he's one-way traffic. One-way traffic. He chose to follow Paul. Acts 16, and that's what we have known about him for the rest of his life. One way. He said, I'm persuaded it's in you. There are things you can learn from people. Their commitment, their generosity. See how our parents then, they will give us offering. They are, come here, take the offering. And someone will say, the money I asked from him, he didn't give me. He's giving me offering. Hallelujah. They'll take you to vigils. They know you are going to sleep. When my mom gives you ministry of laying of hands, you will wake up into eternal life. She just is just once. My father struggles. She is once. Stop! You have been done all the time, you stand there for.
So we used to move very far from her.
But you know what? As it looked insignificant then, do you know they've helped us eventually? It was those things that made some of us respond to the gospel eventually. They brought that awareness. That awareness. I can't take away the fact that those things led me eventually to the ministry. Unfeigned faith. Never, never mock an attitude to know God and serve God. Emulate it. Emulate it. Unfeigned faith. Then I found it in your mom, your grandmother. Interestingly, it doesn't mention the fathers. I'm persuaded it's in you. The commitment of others should inspire you. You saw people in the sun giving out flyers. You saw people honor their pastors, honor their churches, proud of their churches. You don't like the fact that they put their stickers on their cars. I'm from social and social church. It's not a sticker that makes the Christian. It's the indwelling. We have heard you. Does the sticker remove the indwelling? Come off it. You should be proud of your local church. Amen. That's it. You should have things you are learning. And learning from the commitment. Many of us younger people. It's one church in 2 years. One man of God per season. What kind of life is that? You can't be in a place for 10 years. No. 10 years. After 3 years, you're already looking around. Any new church in town? After 1 year of having a pastor, he's my pastor, he's my teacher. You're looking for another one. No, nothing that we can emulate. Hallelujah. We have things to learn. Learn from the older generation. Learn. That unfeigned faith. Paul says, I found it in your grandmom. That means they were known for it. I found it in... Paul didn't lead them to Christ. Paul is not talking about the ability to preach. No! Commitment. Unfeigned means uncorrupted. The faith there means commitment. Hallelujah. So what is this work? Let's find out. What is it? In Psalm 118, describing the ministry, Psalm 118, I'm going to read verse 22. The stone, he says, which the builders refused, is become the headstone of the corner. Verse 23 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech you. O Lord, I beseech you. Send now prosperity. Referring to the growth of the ministry in the earth. Isaiah 28 repeats that prophecy about the work of the gospel. Isaiah 28. Verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He says, he that believes shall not make haste. He that believes, Isaiah says, shall not make haste. A stone. So the concept of the ministry is described as laying down a stone or building. To build God's temple in the earth. To build His work in the earth. Psalm 132. And verse 8. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Thou and the ark of thy strength. Then he says in verse 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I desired it. Let's go to Isaiah again. Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 9. You shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day then shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. It shall, for to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. In other words, the mission of the gospel takes a global perspective, where God seeks to dwell in every inhabited space in the world or in the earth. So the first thing about the work of the ministry, it is bigger than you. It's before you, it's after you. The work is bigger than you. It's bigger than your city, bigger than your nation, bigger than your assembly. Is for all the world, all the earth. So very vitally, you mustn't have a me alone concept or complex. No, you can't have that. Genesis 1:26. Let us make mine an image after our likeness. Then he says, let's give them dominion over the fish of the sea and fowl of the air and everything, the creeping thing that moves upon the earth. And the Bible says, God blessed the man and the woman and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. So it's a work of increase. It's a work that you don't stop growing. Number one, it's beyond you. Number two, it's something you don't stop growing. There's no limits. There's no cap. There's no end goal. Until you are done in the earth. So it's a work you must pay attention to. Hallelujah. One is bigger than you. Forget that. So it's not just you. Two is a work that you must keep doing because it must keep growing. It must keep increasing. You must keep doing more. It's a work that involves people, persons, people and persons. And one of the first things that describes the ministry, one of the first, not the first, is the fact that the people that God commands that we go reach are called sheep. Sheep. Genesis 49. And verse 24. Jacob is here blessing his children. He says, but his bow abode in the strength. And the hams is talking about Joseph. I'll start from 22. Joseph is a fruitful bow. Even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall, is prophesying. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. God is called the shepherd. Psalm 80 and verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwells between the cherubims, shine forth. So God is called a shepherd. So the people are called the sheep. Remember we read there against stone. It's called the shepherd. And you see that consistent narrative within the Old Testament text. Ezekiel 34. So we're building a people. We're building living beings. Ezekiel 34. I'm going to read verse 12 to 16. This is God speaking about himself. I'll start from 11. For thus saith the Lord. Maybe I should start from 10 or 9. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be with me for them. Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, if I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, and is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 13, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the habited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in the good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. God calls himself a shepherd. He now sends men like himself. I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even as my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. Look at Jeremiah, chapter 3, and verse 15. I'll start from 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I'm married unto you, and I'll take you, one of a city, and two of a family. I'll bring you to Zion. Verse 15. And I'll give you pastors. That's what shepherds. According to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. See, I am a pastor. I'm a shepherd. According to the heart of God. I'm after the heart of God. That's what he says here. So they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 23. And verse 4. I will set up shepherds over them, who shall feed them. They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So the work is the work of a shepherd. A shepherd that first of all seeks for the sheep, and brings the sheep into the flock to feed. It's beyond you. Who said that? Is for all the earth. It must keep growing. Which means the shepherd must keep increasing the sheepfold. So when Jesus is talking to Peter and says, lovest thou me more than this, feed my sheep, in John 21:16. This is what he was reading to him. A shepherd after my heart. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. What else? Isaiah 61. I just take a few of the illustrations used for the work of the ministry. Isaiah 61. I'm going to read verse 3 through to 4. To appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, that they may build the whole wastes. They shall build the whole wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Which means the work is also the work of repairing things, turning people back who have gone astray. It's also the work of planting. Because he said it shall be called the planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness. Genesis 2:15. The very first work we read in scripture is to till, take care of, dress and keep a planting or a plantation. The garden that God himself planted. So, look at the descriptions that we're given. What are the descriptions? I see myself as a builder. Which means I'm a builder. I'm building. I'm not building a church venue, even though we need it. I'm building people. I'm building people. Who are these people? They are God's house. They are God's sheep. They are God's temple. I'm also a shepherd, which means I'm dealing with living beings that must be handled carefully. I'm a shepherd. That I must handle them carefully. So I'm a builder. See, I'm a shepherd, which means that you don't just deal with people by numbers and figures. I often tell the pastors, I don't like words like almost five people. Nearly, There must be a name behind every information you are giving me. And they must be recognizable. God's men should not be treated like mere objects. Not like mere objects that you just count. Don't just count. Don't just summarize people's lives. So, I'm a shepherd. Three, I'm also a farmer. One who builds. One who seeks for sheep to bring them to the fold. Lost sheep now. See that shortly. I'm a planter. I plant. I must plant and make sure that it grows. That it grows. Number four, I'm also a servant of God. You know, Abraham was called God's servant. Genesis 26, verse 24. A prophet of God, but he's a servant of God for the people. So when you are set out to begin a new work, it's the work of a builder. It's the work of a shepherd. It's a work of a farmer. It's a work of a servant. A builder, a shepherd, a farmer, a servant. Don't forget the first things we said. Number one is bigger than you. Bigger than where you are. Bigger than your nation. Bigger than your city. It's also a work of increase. There's no limit to it. There's no stoppage. There's no, okay, we have gotten to what we should do. No, we said replenish the earth. That's what he said. Go into all the world. That's why we're talking about a new work. So your work is that of a shepherd, a builder, a farmer, a servant of God. Not an executive. Not a CEO. In Matthew's Gospel 9, let's examine some details now. Matthew's Gospel 9, I'll start from 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw, verse 36, the multitude, what happened? He was moved with compassion on them. Ministry that is not a call to compassion is a call to self or selfishness. When ministry is no longer done by compassion, you are not preaching the gospel so that you will have a record. You are preaching the gospel because you know without the gospel, men will be destroyed. And that compassion motivates you. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. Paul says, if we be beside ourselves, is the love of Christ that compels us. There's a vast difference, a wide difference between someone who is in the ministry because of compassion and someone who is in the ministry because there's nothing else he's doing. Because it's part of your hobby. So the work of ministry is not a hobby. It's not something you do at your pastime or so your extra time. No. He says he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he fainted and was scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see that in Numbers 27 verse 17. 1 Kings 22 verse 17. And of course, Ezekiel 34 verse 5 and Zechariah 10:2, where God describes his people as sheep having no shepherd. And the people described, pay attention here, in Numbers 27 and verse 17, may not be sheep having no shepherd. This was referring to, so when you say sheep having no shepherd, is to describe unbelief. Unbelief. Or those who are not saved. Those who are not saved are the ones described as sheep having no shepherd. So, when we look out and see men who are not in the churches, who are not born again, they are the sheep he's referring to. But they have no shepherd. And the shepherd is you. So the first thing about the work of the gospel is the sheep that have no shepherd. Matthew's gospel 9 again. He had compassion. Do you have compassion for the unsaved? No one can be a genuine minister if he has no genuine compassion for the unsaved. When people go to hell, does it move you? When people are not born again and rebellious towards the gospel, does it affect you? If that's not the reason why you're starting a new work, then you're starting a business venture or a personal organization. The reason why the church must keep expanding, because we have so much sheep without a shepherd. So they fainted. Then he said to them in 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He calls them laborers. The harvest is plenteous. Now, when he says the laborers are few, because he only had 12 men, which means that Jesus wanted more people. And that can happen in many churches. Very few people are doing the work. Very few. Look at us today now as a church. If we have our camp meeting here, I'm sure this place will be different in number. Some will not come because they'll tell you, I'm not involved in that. You know, I'm not in the ministry. I love the body of Christ. I love the church, but I'm not in the ministry. They're born again already. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. They know that it's the love of God that people need to hear. They know people need to hear the gospel. They know it. They understand. They've heard it. So you find a fewer number are found in the prayer meetings. A fewer number are found, you know, on evangelism. The whole church doesn't go. Just the same number. When it's time to go for follow-up and visitation for the new combat, a fewer number are doing it. Some are not concerned. Why? Because they don't have compassion. We'll start talking about something else. Do end of the year dinner. They will dress up. Do singles seminar, they'll be there. Do how to have a blissful married life, They will come up.
Bring Bill Gates to come and talk about how great businesses thrive. They will even pay to attend. But let's say, on Monday, all of us in the evening, the public holiday, we are going to preach the gospel. They will already prepare in their mind that you are not talking to them.
Now, Pastor knows some of us, we are not for that. We are not caught out for that.
That's why when we have the services, the hall is full. When we have the prayer meetings, half full. Evangelism, one quarter full. Follow up, the quarter of that quarter. So people just talk about evangelism. They give you the soul to go and follow up. They'll say, Pastor, I want 8 souls. Souls. Yeah. Who do you go? Yes, sir. Who's going to check on them? Is that my job? Laborers are few. Laborers are few. A church engaged in reaching the world will keep multiplying the works, keep multiplying the centers, the venues, as we call it, the branches or campuses. Hallelujah. Because that's the vision of Jesus. Say, I have the vision of Jesus. I have the vision of Jesus. So the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Which means God wants us to match the harvest. So pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Glory to God. Can you see people in your world that are sheep without shepherd? God has sent you to them. Sheep having no shepherd. Some of them are backsliding believers. Cold. Some have never been believers before. They are called the lost sheep. Sheep having no shepherd. So by the time he sent them out, he said, go, verse 6, Matthew 10:6, to the lost sheep of the house. Now hear this. Even though Jesus knew the laborers were few, he still sent them anyway. But by the second time, there were now 70 more. Upon his resurrection, they had more people. Which means, it's your job to keep increasing the laborers. You don't say, well, because we are few, maybe we should not do much yet. Don't say, well, let's do training first. No. The training involves the sending out. You do not delay soul winning for ministry training. Rather, you involve soul winning in the ministry training. And ministry training in the soul winning. You don't delay it. Evangelism should be more in the churches. We should preach more to the unsaved than we should teach the believers. Let me repeat that. We should reach out. We should have more outreaches to the unsaved than we have meetings with believers. Because the breadth of our meetings with believers is to lead us to reach the unsaved. Can I have an amen there? Don't become a church member that likes the teaching, the doctrine, the Bible seminars, the Holy Ghost meetings, and you don't show up when it is time to do why we are doing the teaching. God has sent you already. Hallelujah. The moment you are born again, God has sent you already. So you're a shepherd. This is pray. So every pastor must pray for an increase in laborers. You must pray. It's a consistent prayer. We must pray. The more people in our assemblies will be stirred up to do this work. Thank God for those who handle our media. Thank God for those who play the musical instruments, who handle the cameras, who do the security. We're grateful because their service is needful. Thank God for, you know, those who help arrange the chairs, those who do security, those who
you know, who handle the administration of the churches and ministries. We're grateful because without them, things will be in that. But you know what? Those are not the laborers he's talking about. The laborers he's talking about are shepherds over the sheep. He didn't say the media is necessary. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth media men. No. Did he send forth protocol? No. Did he send forth ushers? No. Did he say that will send forth administrators? No. Or financial experts? No. He says send for laborers, shepherds. Don't tell me that what you do in your church. What do you do in your church? Well, I handle the multimedia part. I handle the editing of pastors' books. I handle the... Okay, that's fine. What do you do in evangelism? In global evangelism? I'm still praying about it. You didn't pray about multimedia. That is a secondary work. You are praying about the main thing. Hear me, pastors. Don't make anybody comfortable in your churches who is not a soul winner. I didn't say chase them away. Just don't make them comfortable. You mustn't tell people what they want to hear. Sometimes, it's what they don't want to hear that you are going to see. Brother! Alpha! Brother Alpha! Yes, just be praying for me. I have been praying for you. Let your head not refuse prayer. Don't make anyone comfortable who is not winning souls. We're also building a house for the Lord, which means we learn to lay foundation, we learn to build gradually and maintain the building. See, I'm a builder. You're also a builder. God has sent you to build. You must have the patience of a builder. Paul says, I am a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. And then another one will build upon. A builder. To build. To build structures. Which means you must ensure that what you are building is strong. It's strong. I believe God that we are building strong local churches. Strong believers. Very strong believers. Look at what happened in Jerusalem. They had become disciples. And then there was persecution. And they were going in from house to house, arresting believers, killing them. We didn't hear of anyone who renounced the faith. They fled. The apostles waited. But when they fled, they didn't go for holiday. They didn't change their citizenship. They didn't run away. They fled to preach the word. So under pressure, look at what had been built. Strong local churches. All of them did the same thing. One of the hazards of a strong local church is that we have the same mindset. The same mindset. The same mindset towards the gospel. I didn't say the same kind of, I'm not talking about personal issues. I'm saying towards the ministry. We have the same mindset. You see some churches where people are late for the services. They are running. Elderly people, those who are, you know, influential people in society, they're running. Why? Because they have been so taught. So taught. They have that mindset that I'm late. I shouldn't be late. I shouldn't be late. Strong local church, you have the same characteristic, the same attitude towards the things of God. So we are building. Building. So don't do things hurriedly. Don't do it hurriedly just to put something together. Hurriedly. There was a guy like that whose father-in-law asked him to help him build a house. So he said, okay. So he would draw the budget, give the father-in-law, and then collect the money. And then go and build. I need this one. The father-in-law will give him money.
I need that one. You give him money. I need that one. Give him money. We need to put something in this. You give him money. The kind of toilet seats was, you give him money. When it was done, then the father-in-law came to open the house to, like we say, to have a ceremony. And then he said, my dear, I've been thinking of what to give to you because you married my daughter. So this house is your own. He gave him the key. The man started to cry. Why are you crying? He didn't know the house was his own. So he had bought very inferior quality materials. He didn't know. So hear me. The people, the way you treat the people that you are sent to, right, is where your reward is. Don't think, well, because I'm not the pastor, Brojide is the pastor, Pastor Jakes is the pastor, so I'm not the one that killed Jesus, Jerry. Then you just do things anyhow. And you build things with inferior things. Paul says you take heed what you build on. He said if you build on anything but the word of God, he said the day will declare it. 1 Corinthians 3:13. It will burn. May my works not burn in Jesus' name. Did you hear that? May my works not burn in Jesus' name. So as we do the work, let's ensure we are building something that is strong. Strong. Don't do inferior things. Don't just put prayer aside, evangelism aside, the teaching of God's word aside. Don't build a strong culture in the local church. Culture of honor, discipline. You won't find any local church that is making impact in the world and they are not disciplined. You won't find any. Highly disciplined. Highly disciplined. Your brother Hagin will say, some who have never passed on the chicken scoop, they are the ones that will be analyzing. Highly disciplined. We have things to learn. In those days, I don't know whether now because maybe recently I've not been taking buses. You hardly enter a bus and a Deeper Life member is not going to preach. They will get up. You may mock them, they will preach and they will give you their tract. That's an attitude you can emulate. Anywhere. They get up in the bus. They'll preach. Because it's a culture. Hallelujah. We're builders. Say, I'm a builder. Three, you're a farmer. So as you farm, plant the right seed. Plant the right seed. Don't plant the seed of entertainment. Don't plant the seed of selfishness. When you go for evangelism, don't go and counter a church or attack another church. You are just going to raise militants. You just planted the seed of militancy, not the gospel of salvation. Plant the right seed. The Bible says the sower, Luke 8:10, soweth the word, and 11, the word is the word that you should sow, and on good ground. Hallelujah. See, I plant good seeds. I plant the seed of the word. Sow the right seed. Sow the good seed on a good ground. Teach the word of God. Paul says, I commend it to God and to the word of his grace. Acts 20:32. Teach the word of God. Don't teach your habits. Don't teach to cover your weakness. Don't teach to abuse others. Teach the word of God. Build the church on the word of God. Years ago, I had this divinely grand appearance where I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I shared this once in a while like this. And I didn't know that was the one I was seeing. I just saw a dome. And I saw someone at the center.
And I kept looking, who is this? And the whole place was quiet, looking towards him. So when he lifted up his eyes, he said, build your ministry and build your message on my person. I didn't even know so much then. I still don't know much. But I knew there's something about what God wants us to do. To build it on the word of God. Don't build it on your selfish interest, on your ambitions. Don't use the church to fight your friends or enemies. Don't do it.
You are here. I've never, ever used the members of the church to go and fight people. I don't do it. I've never used our pulpit for nonsense. No. At all. And I've always said, don't defend me. There's nothing to defend about me. Defend the gospel. Praise the Lord. Don't defend about me. Defend the gospel. You stand with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I keep preaching the gospel, and you stand for the gospel, you eventually are defending me. But if I don't defend the gospel, I don't preach the gospel, and you are defending me, and you are not preaching the gospel, then you are offending God. Preach the word. Build on the word of God. Build on the word. In 1 Corinthians 3, as a farmer, Paul says, I have planted, verse 8. Somebody else watered, verse 6, sorry. I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So there's a planting and a watering. And Paul gives us an imagery of how things can grow. You don't just plant, you also water it. That's why it's not good enough to be sending out the word, doing a podcast, or sending the word. That's not yet the work. As you plant, you must water it. There are many things you do to ensure the word of God is growing in people's lives. After teaching them, are they praying? Are they acting on it? Are you overseeing that their lifestyle, their conduct has changed? Are you paying attention to whether they are generous or not? Do you see how they treat their relationships, their families, their friends? Are you watching their attitudes? Your job is not just to stand on the pulpit and teach. Your job is also to look at their lives. And be the role model for them. I'll get to that in a moment. You must watch them. How they treat their families, their children, their siblings, their friends. You're watching it. Their conduct. How are they dressing? Don't say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, you must pay attention to it. Paul spoke about dressing. Peter spoke about dressing. They taught about dressing. Not once did Paul teach about dressing. How Christians should dress. How they should dress. Speaking about women and men. Peter said the same thing. Paul spoke about how we should treat the government. Paul gave instructions about the government. How a Christian should act towards the government. Peter wrote the same things. How you should talk to the government. That's part of your job as a pastor. Paul wrote how you should treat your employers and employees. Why those details? That is the job of building. And watering what you have planted. You see, the students under your care are failing their examinations. There's something to be done. That means there's lack of diligence somewhere. Don't just pray for them and say, I declare over you, you have the mind of Daniel. What Daniel? Is your name Daniel? Call them. Bro, what is going on? Sit him down. See, the Bible teaches diligence. You've got to be diligent. So, as you build strongly. Don't just build. Build looking at the things that should not be in the house. Some people bring offense to the gospel. There's a guy like that, always complaining, hey, my parents don't want me to serve God. They don't want me to serve God. I say, are you sure? Are you sure your parents don't want you to serve God? One guy like that, I went to check him in his house. This was one year now. I got to the house. I saw the mom sweeping the floor. It was about 8 o'clock or so. The mom was sweeping the floor. I was first ashamed of myself. I will now say I came to check so and so person. So I just heard, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He's doing devotion at 8 o'clock. I got him filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me take back the Holy Ghost I give you. Come out of that discussion. Go and collect the broom. And sweeps. Yeah, I was having devotion like you thought. I didn't teach you this nonsense. They sent you work as a Christian. They gave you 500 naira. You bought 485. You pocketed 15. You say, it doesn't matter. It's not just matter. It is summer. See your head. You're a thief. You're a thief. You return the change. Some of you even do it in the house of God. They say, go and buy wires for the works department. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm just using an illustration. And then you go. The wire is 20,000 naira. They give you 22,000. Because that was what you thought it was. You now got there, you priced it down from 20 to 20. Rather than return the money, you say, that's my own gain now. You are a thief. That's what you are. You are a thief. Your spiritual father is Gehazi. It's not funny, I'm not joking. That is your example in scripture. When you check the book of life, the chapter Gehazi is where your name is. So you watch. Hallelujah. As a shepherd, you find the sheep. That's evangelism. You look for the sheep. In Luke 15, the shepherd went for the sheep. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent out the shepherds to look for the sheep. Don't look for ready-made sheep. Look for the lost sheep. Find the sheep. Keep finding them. In 2021, keep finding the sheep. Don't be tired. Hallelujah. Keep finding the sheep. And when you find the sheep, lead the sheep. You must take responsibility. The difference between Christians who answer the call of God and those who don't answer the call of God is that some have taken responsibility, some have not. To take responsibility. If today you talk about the body of Christ in Nigeria, and you say maybe people are not praying well, or people are not doing evangelism well, I will not see myself as just analyzing it and criticizing it. I'll tell myself, what role do I play to stem this tide? I'll take responsibility. I won't say, some churches are. No, don't make that kind of statement. You put it upon yourself to ensure you are an example of what ought to be done. You take responsibility. You take responsibility. You notice, for a few years, I've been instructing you about the power of the media. The power of the media. From the TV media, now the social media. The difference is that the TV is well controlled, even though it still has powerful influence. The social media is largely uncontrolled. So a lot of information goes in there. And they are poured out there. Things that naturally people would not be permitted to say are now being said with ease. People that cannot look at other people to talk to them, they now say it behind them in an anonymous way, and they abuse people. I don't care. The spirit of licentiousness. People that you can't see. I remember one guy. He had said terrible things. Wrote terrible things on his Facebook page. So I was now called to be a consultant for that, a company that was supposed to interview their applicants. They had a vacancy. So they said I should help them look through the CVs and the people. And I saw this guy here. I don't want to tell you what he used to say. And when he came for the interview, he was like a sheep led to the... So you are not even... So this is he? This is you? But you know what? I couldn't recommend him. My conscience couldn't do it. Because that kind of a fellow will create strife in that company. I couldn't. Let me tell you, I didn't even check his qualifications. Competence is not above character. Character is important. As a leader, I've known that for years. If you like, go and raise Lazarus from the dead. If I see your character, and I say, no, not this guy. He will divide the house. He will destroy things. I was led early in life to know something very simple. It taught me that never choose the able over the faithful. That the faithful would eventually become able. Paul says, commit unto faithful men who shall be able. When you find an unfaithful able man, is a time bomb. Time bomb. The able might not be faithful, but the faithful eventually become able. So never take, and some of you who are starting out in churches, you are likely going to surround yourself with people that just be, the word. Don't make that error. Look out for them in the prayer meetings. Open your eyes wide to how they pray. Open your eyes wide. Open your eyes. Look at them. How do they respond to instructions? How do they respond to things that you say? If they are committed to Jesus, let them go to his church. Yes. Those who will serve God with you. Hallelujah. Very simple. So I knew it. That this kind of person, I can't for the life of me recommend him. He was saying very divisive things. Calling people names. No. Not this guy. Someone told me, the grace of God, that's why I did not recommend him. Don't you know that when they were going to choose deacons, the qualification was not getting born again. Honest report, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. When it comes to ministry, service, and leadership, you have to look at the character. Are you in church? You lead them. You lead them to pastures. You sacrifice. You guide them. Very guide. See, I'm a good guide. I'm a honest guide. You guide. You lead. You direct. It's your job. It's your job. So the job you are starting involves being a shepherd. You look for the sheep. A leader. You lead others. You must take responsibility. That's why when you are wrong, don't explain. Just say you are wrong. That is part of leadership. Don't say, I know I'm wrong, but if you look at it from this perspective, you are not yet wrong in your eyes.
Don't say I'm wrong, then start shalaye. You are wrong. That's all. It's part of leadership. You're wrong. You lead. You guide. You direct. So when you hear shepherd and sheep, it involves sacrifice to rule. You should know those who are over you. Those who labor. Paul says, look among you, those who labor over you. You know. You know. Because it's evident. Those you will call at the grim hours of the night. That's why I tell a lot of social media apostles, where people go to on Sundays, that is their church. No matter how many views you have, is where they, see, that Sunday is your, you know, we used to have, practice questions before you do exams. You're scoring yourself 90. 100. Score 100. Many of us, we first passed 300 in our exam, the one we wrote for ourselves. You passed it very well. In fact, when you were filling your imaginary jam form, you filled Harvard. You passed it. But you know the real result is that small slip. Is it a small slip? That's the real result. You think they now check it online? The result, they now say math, English. You now say, that is the result. So you have 5,000 views. What is a view? Sometimes people are just checking and say, ah, see this guy, he's conk. From there, hush puppy. That's what a view is. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Some will watch and watch and say, ah. Yes. That's why on our TV programs now, I ask them to remove the scriptures. So if you are not committed to read your Bible, you won't enjoy it. Say, remove the scriptures from the screen. If we don't put it on the screen in church, we should not do it on the program. So bring out your Bible. And we see some people, rather than hear the word, they'll be commenting there. Wow. So Jesus is God. I say, ah. They are preaching their own. They can't keep quiet. Is that what you call sheep? So don't fool yourself. The real exam. Real exam. Some of us will pass test over 5, 4. Alright. Then the real exam over 80 is called 20. Have you tried? So forget that. Where people go to on Sundays, that is their commitment. And those who go on Sundays, those who come for the prayer meetings, those are the disciples that are growing. And those who go for evangelism and follow up and discipleship, those are the ones that are still growing. Always mark the right script. People can hail you. A lot of people hail. They hail a lot. They hail everybody. They hail everybody. So you should know what you are doing. Know what you are doing, you know? Do you hear what I'm saying? Know what you are doing, you know? Don't fool yourself. Don't know. See, if they're, you know, it's not wrong people are fooling you. And they are lying to you. The problem is when you start lying to yourself. Hallelujah. I told the guy, he said he wants to write a book. I said, who is going to read it? He said, I know the body of Christ needs it. I said, you're about to say, the money I have, let me lend you. Eventually, those books will become ampers. Trust me. The first people that will read what you write are the people that listen to you.
He went ahead, borrowed money. Right? To do the book of life. He had more complimentary copies. He was signing. He thought it's about book signing. People now sit down. Say book signing. Thinks he's going to bring. Say, I'm signing. People just sign and they take it away. They will not pay. You have to learn, though. The very first book we published, tell the world, the copies are still with the printer. You brought it to your school. Your book will not even pay. Did you pay? The printer just gave us some few copies. We took it to their school. The other copies, we could not pay for it. They are still there. This is about 18 years or so now. So, they are still there. I know they are not there again. I'm sure you'll have seen some of those things. They will use it to wrap suya for you. That's today. Praise the Lord. Are you learning what I'm saying? Are you learning from what I'm saying? Sorry. So, ensure that you don't fool yourself. You say you have a disciple that doesn't come to your church. Some of you in church, you say, "My, I have a disciple, but he attends this and so church." You better don't give yourself brainwave. How can you have a disciple that attends this and so church? Who is teaching you nonsense? Your disciple is that brother and that sister that comes with you to church or comes to church with you, not together, amen, and the fellow who is in the service with you. You can't have the disciple of somebody else's assembly now. Why are you living in contradiction? You know what you are doing. If they fool you, don't fool yourself. Hallelujah. You know, during the lockdown, some people were so happy. They said, by the time they take the lockdown, new things are happening, new normal. I laughed. I said, people will go back to their churches. All these emergency pastors on social media. They say, and people were now doing regular, daily, 2-3 times a day. I said, where is this zeal coming from? Some say, I'm not doing any emergency preaching. It's good, let us lock down. I reach the lost. Every day, some people say, morning prayer, afternoon prayer, evening prayer. Say that they will be. Some say people will open. I say they will go back to their churches. You think all this podcast is pastoring? It's not pastoring. And eventually, if you not go back to their churches, they went back there. I said it. You know, I'm not very old. I'm not old at all in ministry, but I know a little. I know a little, just little. Maybe it's 1.1/1,000. But that little, I know it. They will go back to their churches. They just start doing series. You will walk. They will hear you. But Sunday. Sunday. They will go to their church. You know why? Because those people really labor for them. People know those who labor over them. You can say, but they are not teaching the insight in Christ. We know. We know. But they know those who labor over them. When they are in the hospital, do you know the hospital? You don't. You don't know. Someone was telling me, I don't know why my mom is so particular about that church. You know, I know they paid our school fees. I don't even say. Wait, let me finish the story for you. Said, I know they pay our school fees. They said, when he said, but that doesn't matter. It's Christ that matters. You know what I was thinking? May this guy not stay in this church. May this guy not stay in this. I'm serious. I said, God, let him not think this is his church in Jesus. How can you say that? All your siblings.
He said, it doesn't matter, it's Christ that matters. Did Christ pay it? Ah! So I said, what do you want to do? I said, really? You should go back to that church. It's not good to cause strife. Go and stay there. I said, you want to come here? And one day, you will say the same thing. What's the big deal? The word of God is everywhere. You will say the same thing. Unthankful. That's what you are. Does it mean he said, I'm so grateful. I really look at that. I just think that, you know, he just said, it doesn't matter now. You know, it's the word that matters. The word. Is it the word that says you talk like a fool? He said from child when he lost their dad, till at this point he was going for his youth service. Do you know what it means to pay school fees one time? One time. You are just grumbling. Why is this thing so high now? So, then two times. Then three times. 6 years. 12 years. Let me see what I want to see. Hallelujah. So build. Build. Ministry is work. Did you hear me? Build. It's work. Sacrifice. Labor is involved in what you are doing. Also, you are building a household. It's called a household, a family. That's why Paul could call the church at Corinth his sons. 1 Corinthians 4:14. And Timothy his son. So it's a family. Which means you become a role model. Fatherhood in scripture is being a role model. Being an example. Say, I'm a role model. A church should raise role models. Role models. We should be able to say, oh, this brother, highly influential, is a governor in this country, but is consistent in the ushering department. He's consistent in prayer. That's a role model. He has good report in his organization, his company. Role model. Yet, he has good report both within and without. That means if we get to his office, he's known as honest, disciplined. If we come to church, he's committed and faithful. Role models. So you're a role model. When you are going through hardship and pain and difficulty, you see you are still committed. Sacrifice. Loyalty. Honor. Discipline. Exemplary conduct. A role model. So we build role models. And therefore you are like a father over a family. I tell our leaders, I say you can't complain when people have problems. Or when some Christians in your church go astray. That is your job. That's why you are there. People's lifestyles, when they go awry, should not scare you. That is your job. That is your job. People will sometimes act ignorantly. That is your job. They will have challenges and problems. That is your job. You don't run from them, except you're a wolf. Nihiling is your job. That is why pastor is not quick to shame people. Now, to discipline people is not shaming people. I remember someone made a comment. He said, oftentimes, when you hear people talk about public shaming others, it's because they don't have any interest in them. And how many of us will do it to our own children? No. We have to rebuke him publicly. We have to expose him. We have to expose her. We have to do that. If the person were to be your son or daughter, would you have done it? You will find an excuse. You say, you know, and all that. Are you not supposed to be a father over the congregation? That's your job. So you must treat your flock like your children. So in the work that you are starting, you are going to father people. You're going to be a role model to them. Hallelujah.
And don't forget, you have to keep growing. How do we keep growing as a church? We have to keep going. We have to be consistent in teaching and preaching. Consistent in building, planting. Don't do, hear me, don't do evangelism to get to a particular point. So when you fill up the auditorium and you've reached your goal of 10,000 congregation, you now stop. No! You have to keep going. You have to keep going. You have to keep going. I love the vision of the RCCG. They said they want a member of every family in the world to be in their congregation. Someone say, I don't like that. That's being an empire. Go and build your own. That's a vision. It keeps the ministry busy. It keeps them focused. It keeps them committed. Vision always keeps you busy. A goal keeps you busy. If your pastor says, this year, we want to win 10,000 souls, that keeps you busy. You will be busy. You already know, at the office too, they gave you a goal. That in this department, we must raise 1 billion naira. That's a goal. Immediately when you have goals, you cut away some frivolities, Abby. Quickly, you say, I can't be doing this one again, or else I'll be sacked. I have to have more time. So it keeps you busy. You can't have a local church with no vision. That should be a vision. It keeps us busy. We know whether we have done it or not. We keep checking. We keep checking. I told the pastors years ago, I said, yes, we have our auditorium sometimes packed out when we have special meetings, but are these people our church members? I asked them that question. I did. I said, now we must have a benchmark of the people that come for our meetings. Because this is part of our discipleship program. And so we reduce publicity. Because for your church members, you don't need publicity, right? You don't. There's no need for it. Publicity is not wrong at all. You should do it. Reach more people. But that had to do with a stage we got through. I said, Let's watch it. Because if that special meeting is not part of our discipleship program, then we are pouring water into a basket. So reduce publicity. We should be able to hold meetings without a single flyer. If we are really discipling people. How many of you send flyer to your husband or wife to come and eat? Darling, you don't do it. Or your kids. Because you are in the same place. Those that you disciple don't need media. I told them. So we had a benchmark. And we have been meeting it. I'm going to increase it in the coming year. Say amen. Thank you. Give them a benchmark. This is a benchmark. Because we have to build properly. Build. Keep reaching out. Be consistent. And for some of us who are younger, trust the process of scripture. Don't get so agitated that you now do things that your conscience cannot bear. I must add this. Watch who gives you counsel in ministry. Watch it. When you get the wrong counsel in ministry, you'll go the wrong way. Watch it. I told you before, I've always had 3 litmus tests for any doctrine, instruction, or counsel. Number one, if it doesn't inspire soul winning. I'm not talking about soul winning. No. Where it puts it as a priority, I will discountenance it. Because I don't just go for the container. I go for the motive, the spirit of a message. 2, if it talks down on the power of God, on the demonstration of the miraculous,
I won't even engage it. And three, if it brings strife and division, there are people, and you mustn't be part of it. The moment people listen to you, I'm not saying people that listen to you halfway, this, and they are committed in their church where the word of God is taught, and they are so committed, they are giving their best. As soon as they hear you, they begin to doubt that church. Is an evil spirit using that person? Why should they doubt a place they have been blessed and serving the Lord? And many people that give those counsels, they are not ready to pastor you. So I watch three things. If it inspires lack of love for the brethren, for the church, lack of commitment to serve the church, forget it. I won't hear it. I won't listen to it. I'll discountenance it immediately. We must keep building, keep planting. So I'm going to say this to you churches. What is your goal in 2021? Break it up into months. Did you hear me? Break it up. As you start a new work, what is the goal? Break it up into months, into weeks, into quarters of the year, and check it. Have we done this? How many folks are now involved in evangelism in church? Mark your scripts. How many folks, new people, are in the churches? How can you do services and there are no first timers? How? What happened during the week? Not one single person came for the service. What happened? You mean nobody went out to talk to somebody new? How? No new person in the churches. You should be sad if a service goes on and then not one new person has come for your meetings. We were 20 last week. Now we're 18. You ask what happened. Because Jesus asks us to increase. Let me see you answer by calling what I'm saying here. You should ask questions. What happened? And then call the workers. Where are your disciples? Why were they not in church? Didn't you win souls last month? Hallelujah. So we go on the increase. We receive supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God. The first fruit of things to come. You ask the right questions. Then you also observe, are these new converts or ex-converts? I wanted to say ex-convict actually. I changed it. People that were in another church or new converts. Do new people come to the services? That means we are working. That means we are working. That means things happen during the week. Whole week went. In Lagos, 20 million people. Nigeria, 200 million people. We were 30 last Sunday. This Sunday we are 25. What happened? If you were owner of a school and the new term resumes, hear me well, and last term, the whole school population 1,000, this time is 800, would you not be bothered? Or your class, you're a class teacher, you took the attendance, 15 people were in the class, the next week 12, would you say what's going on? Where is Taiwo? Where is Kule? Where is Bola? Would you call the parents? Would you know what happened? If they say, well, we have changed school, we're somewhere else, you say, good riddance. Then the next week, it's now 6, we have changed school, good riddance. Are you sure you wanted to start a school? Or you just wanted a billboard? For it to be called a school, they have to be students. For it to be called church, there has to be sheep, people. And for it to be the church of Christ, we have to be reaching to more sheep. So you ask yourself, was there extra people this week? At the end of the year, a church must sit down and say, how many souls did we win this year? How many new converts? How many are now workers? How many were workers last year and no longer workers this year? You must give account. I wish if some of us can just stay off the destruction of the social media. I'm telling you the truth. We'll have more work done. Too distracted. How many are filled with the Holy Ghost? You run foundation school or membership class or school of the local church. How many attend it monthly? That's how to gauge a leader. Before I admit you, for example, into leadership training, I ask those questions. Somebody was going to leave church and claimed, had said, sorry, not claim, I take that back. We're going to do the work of ministry elsewhere. I said, that's not the problem. Now, the number of years you have been here, can you mention one person? You've been here about 3 years. Mention one person that you led to Christ and is in this church now. Fellow said, none. Very good. I said, in the study group that we do for our workers, the study group, what is your performance like? For about 9 months or so, 6 months, fellow had never submitted one single assignment. Which prayer group do you belong to? Well, I try and pray on this, I try. So there's no prayer group that you are known to. That's three. Would your pastor say you are a faithful person? No. So, what gave you the impression is God that told you to go and stand somewhere? I'm sure somebody must have prophesied to you. Or you prophesied to yourself. Because in the work of the ministry, we look at your records. What have you done? How? So you claim, for example, that I am your pastor. I trained you. I didn't train you. You only came around the training. If you were trained, as you're about to leave, we'll see your records. Who's following what I'm saying here? We'll see your records. Who did you lead to Christ? Who? Pastors, we have to watch what we're doing. A church that doesn't take records and account of soul winning, discipleship and workers, whether they are growing or not, is not ready to reach the world. Take account. Find out why last week we did not grow. Why? Because we must be growing every week. Hallelujah. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you seeing what I'm saying? We must be growing how? Every week. Every week. Daily, the Bible says, the Lord added to the church. We must be growing. Everybody may not hear us. But some people will hear us. And some will hear us later. But we must keep talking. We must keep reaching out. We must never be discouraged. Hallelujah. We keep teaching. We keep preaching. We keep reaching out. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. We keep expanding and spreading. Do you have an expansion vision? You're starting a new work. Do you have an expansion vision? When I began to do evangelism of secondary schools about 28 plus years, it was Ikorodu then, I began to pray and I took a fast. So I'll pray round the town. I'll walk around the town praying. I'll just walk. I took it from Archbishop Hidalgo, actually, who said he would walk around Benin City and pray. So I learned that because we learned good examples. I began to walk and I pray. I said this place. And then most of the town had more Muslims. I found out that there were very few Christian fellowships in the secondary schools. So I said, we're going to burst new ones.
And we began to pray. We began to pray. We began to pray. I got some guys to join me. And we were praying. And we were praying. For months. Doing evangelism. Praying. Within how many months, I can't remember. We planted about 10 or 11. Some. Two in the same place. In the boarding house and in the main school. I said, we have to change this. We have to change this. I got the brethren. I said, we're going to fast at some point. Say, we're going to fast 40 days. Then they were now, the second day of the fast. I just met them drinking garri. And no, they said, well, they are not led anymore. You know what I did? I increased mine to 180. Yep. That year, I fasted 265 days. And I did that consistently for about 3-4 years. Until the doctor told me I was going to die if I continue like that. That way you are going. Because I'll fast and pray. Because E.M. Bound said, prayer outlives the person who prayed. It outlives his world. I knew if it's not today, the prayer will happen tomorrow. Hallelujah. See, I'm a faithful man. You must keep growing. Keep growing. And don't get discouraged. At some initial stages, things may appear rough and it's not picking up. Don't forget, you are just starting. So you're also just learning. Don't throw away the moments. First few months, things may look rough. Disciples may run away. That will happen. You know what's going on? You are learning the experience. That experience of staying with one person for a long time, of chasing people, and they'll tell you, I'm coming, and they won't come. One of them sat me down one day, he said, let me tell you the truth. He said, I am not born again. I felt like the ground should open up and swallow me. He said, I am not born again. I said to myself, but he spoke in tongues. Somebody has told you he's not born again. And you are arguing with him. He said, I'm not born again. I said, God. I felt like cursing him. You know, and I told him, I said, this is not fair. It's not fair. You can't say you are not born again. He's not fair now. What's not fair? He's not born again. See that? But you know, those times are where you learn resilience. The fact that you went again to preach, that is the training. You're supposed to be discouraged, right? You said, no, I'm not giving up. We have burnt the bridges to return. We are upward bound with the word. Our faces are set like a flint. Hallelujah. No discouragement here. So you see that those moments. We had one program like that. Years ago. A few years ago actually. I think that should be 21. And they had done a prophecy all over the place. Don't attend that program. And so the whole hall was echoing. We had to shamefully move the seats up to the platform. You know, when you have arranged the seats to the back, you now gather the seats together. Chairs. You now put it on. Platform was supposed to be for the minister. That was when we held the program. Hallelujah. Some brethren were already discouraged. They felt, does this man really know what he's doing? After all our flyers, we then ended up on the platform. Maybe we should just have done the program in his room. You know, that kind of thinking. But I said to them, I said, I know in the name of Jesus, this work will never die. It will keep going. We're never going to give up. I said, I see glory. Somebody will just say, hey, we see glory. We see. We see. Just let's finish this program. Let me go home. Hallelujah. But that is where the training is. Hallelujah. That you will never give up. You went to check someone. He didn't come for the services. He didn't. You still keep at it. You needed that discipline. That training. Hallelujah. There's one guy like that. We gathered money to pay school fees. All the brethren.
We gathered money. I made the brother pay school fees. I said, did you know that brother? He loves the Lord. He's a Muslim. He's now a Christian. We should help him now. So we gathered the money. Then he'll come again and say, we don't have food in the house. I took yam and rice. I packed it. I carried it. Went to give the guy. He told me the mom was so happy. He didn't come to fellowship. I went there hungrily. After stealing. He said, mommy, why is not like that? It's not like that. It's not like that. You know, in my family, because we are Muslim, they may not allow me to come. I said, After my yam and rice, may you not catch stomach trouble with what? Hallelujah. Later on, he now became a serious Christian. Interesting, I think he pastors in this denomination. So, one day we were talking before he became a pastor. He was not talking about how, you know, he some of his disciples are stubborn. I said, you are reaping what you sow. You are reaping what you sowed. Hallelujah. Of course, what I meant was simply that, you know, it was an experience. So, in the earlier stages, and even as you go on, you have difficult moments. Never give up. Keep pushing. You preached. They didn't come. Keep preaching. You won 100 souls. 10 came to the service. Make it 300. You won 50 souls. 5 came. Make it 100. Keep doing it. Keep preaching out. Before you know it, you are expanding your capacity, your experience. You are deepening yourself. One thing is that you must never have small dreams for the gospel. Never. Your goals must be far. Your goals must be something that it will take the grace of God to do it. Fire on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, no one here will close a church. Nobody here will close down any church. Your churches will give back to others. Because you are too strong for the enemy. You are too capable. Too capable. You have capacity to withstand any troubles. The work will never die. I said the work will never die. Have that never die attitude. Never say die. Now what? We'll do it again. You did the program. It's called camp meeting. You expected 500. 100 came. Do it again next year. 200 will come. By the next year, 500 will come. To keep growing. Hundreds into thousands. Thousands into thousands. See, your ministry will gather millions. Let your eyes behold the glory of God. You hear me? Never give up! I told the pastor 2 days ago, somebody want to leave my church. Say, let them go, others will come. Others will come. Amen. Because you were fighting him. Others will come. You go and reach others. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. I don't busy myself with people that don't, if you don't hear, somebody else will hear. Just don't make too much noise so that they can hear. Hallelujah. You have a resilient spirit. A never say die attitude. You don't give up. I say you don't give up. So don't look for an option. Just say, maybe I should stop pastoring for now and go out. Don't stop! It is a trap! Don't stop. Be immovable. And maybe let me stop for now. Let me go and join Saints Community Church. Maybe I need to say, don't stop! Don't stop. Don't say, maybe if I join another church, maybe I'll... No, it is not God talking to you. Don't stop. Don't stop. We are in for a long haul. We are in this for a long haul.
What can you see? 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 Let what you see motivate you. Let what you see motivate you. Let what you see motivate you. Not what is happening now. Let what you see motivate you. What can you see? What can you see? What can you see in your city, in your nation, in your country? What can you see? What can you see? What can you see? What can you see? Keep seeing it. Keep seeing it. Keep seeing it. Keep seeing it. What can you see? It's beyond you. It's beyond you. What can you see? Pray, 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 pray. What can you see? What can you see? That nation is taken. That city is taken. That village is taken. That town is taken. Come on, come on, come on, come on, open your eyes and see. See what God will do. 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 More churches, in more nations, in more cities, in more towns, in more villages. More, 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 more. What can you see? You are not giving up. You are not giving up. You are not giving up. You are not stopping. You are not giving up. You are not giving up. You are not stopping. You are not stopping. You are not throwing in the towel. You are not throwing in the towel. You are not doing it. You are not abandoning the work. You are not stopping. Pray, 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 pray. What can you see? Pray, 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 pray. Satan will not seize your vision. Satan will not take your vision. What can you see? No government policy will dictate your vision. Nothing. Pray, 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 pray. I said you are not giving up. I said you are not giving up. I said you are not stopping. I said you are not throwing in the towel. It's expanding, it's expanding, it's expanding, it's expanding. 1,000, then 5,000, then 10,000, then 100,000, then 200,000, then 1,000,000, then 2,000,000, then 5,000,000, till you are done on earth. Pray, 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 pray. You are not stopping. You are not stopping. No retirement. No vacation. You are not stopping. No retirement. No vacation. No holiday. You are not stopping. You are not stopping. Every spirit of complacency out of your heart in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of tiredness leaves your life now in the name of Jesus. No discouragement. You are not stopping. Sister, brother, you are not stopping. Brother, sister, pastor, pastor, you are not stopping. You are not stopping. You are not stopping. More crusades, more crusades, more outreaches, more miracles, more signs and wonders. More souls, more disciples, more money, more resources, more men, more venues, more locations, more centers. You are not stopping. You are not stopping. You are unstoppable. You are not stopping. 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 Every discouragement deepens your conviction. Pray, 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 pray. You are not stopping. You are not stopping. That cell will grow. It will build more cells. Your church is not in one place. It will be in many places, many homes, many cities, many towns. I said you are raising ministers. You are raising pastors. You are not stopping, no! You are not stopping, no! Hallelujah. 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 We're going to pray one more time before I continue teaching. Oh, every attempt to distract you, we stand against it now. Distraction from family, distraction from work, business, society, distraction from the lust of the flesh, distraction from minister friends. Begin to pray right now. We wage war against it now. We wage war. We are focused. We are focused. We are focused. We are focused. We wage war. 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 Pray. We fight. We fight. We fight. We fight. Prepare every distraction. No distractions. I am not stopping. I'm setting a course that I must follow. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Anywhere distraction will come from, in my household, in my neighborhood, among ministers, in the local church, in the nation, in my organizations, in my company, I forbid it. I will stand it. Pray. Because you are not stopping. 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 No retreat, no surrender. No retreat, no surrender. Because you are not stopping. 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 No retreat, no surrender. Fast, but you must not stop. Pray. Hallelujah. One more thing before we continue. Prophecies have gone before. They are going to come to pass. Oh, we are going to fight. Prophecies have gone before. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, yesterday, last year, everything will come to pass. Raise your voice and pray. Pray on those prophecies now. Pray. My head will not escape the power of God and the power of prayer. Pray that prophecy. You are praying that prophecy now. Mention the prophecy and pray it out. Mention the prophecy and pray it. Mention the prophecy. Mention it. 2014, 2011, 2007, 2010, 2020, last night, 2 days ago, last week. Fight! 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 Come on, pray it! Pray! Pray! Open your mouth and pray! Pray! This harvest will not escape you. Because it's going to happen. This supernatural harvest must happen to you. You won't be found wanting in this harvest. Because this harvest is happening. Pray. There's a supernatural harvest. You must be part of it. You must be part of it. Your church, your ministry, your fellowship, yourself must be part of it. Pray. It must happen. It will happen. It shall happen. It is happening. Pray. Mention your city. Mention your town. Harvest is happening. You will not escape it. It will not escape you. My Lord and my God, this is the harvest, the first fruit of things to come. Saints Corinthian Church is part of it. We throw ourselves into it. Mention your church, your ministry. Delve into it. Pray. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Tonight, we'll be doing a lot of prayings as churches. And I want us to pray into the harvest. And what I perceived this morning as I was preparing for these sessions, we're going to have changed atmospheres in our meetings. You know, both atmospheres matter. They matter. We thank God for teaching, right? The teaching of the word, but we're also trusting for the atmosphere of the glory of God. Yes! We are going to pray tonight. Atmosphere. There should be a kind of wind in our services. It must be different. We want people to have encounters in the services. Encounters. And it will happen. We will pray it to happen. I'm not talking about special meetings. Not special meetings. I'm saying every regular cell meeting, every regular house fellowship, every regular campus meeting, atmospheres. An atmosphere of the glory of God. We're praying tonight. We're going to pray that tonight. And I trust the Lord to lay hands on as many as possible tonight. You know, as we go in the spirit of this meeting, you know, it's a supernatural harvest. We have called it that. So shall it be. I'm saying this time next year, when we talk, you won't be where you are. When we talk, you won't be where you are. When we talk this time next year, we are going to look at the next year again and say, let's go for more. Whatever it will take, we'll give it to it. We'll give it to it. We'll give it. If it's fasting, we fast. If he's fasting, we'll fast more. If he's vigil, we'll do more. It will come to pass by the Spirit of God. Yes! 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 There is no dry land in any fellowship here, in any church. No dry land. No dry land. No desolate places in your ministry. Everywhere is growing and increasing. No dryness. No dry seasons. We are watering and 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 watering. Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. The harvest is here. The kingdom is here. The King of Glory is coming in and in and in and in and in and in and in. Hallelujah. You take your seat now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we keep growing. We keep spreading and expanding. As you start the new work, you are spreading, you are expanding. You must have vision for expansion. You must keep seeing it. You must keep seeing it. That is why you won't stop praying. You won't stop praying because of what you are seeing. You know, there are some prayer points that Pastor Adeboy is praying that I am not praying. Do you know why? Because of what he is desiring. Our prayer lives will differ. So your vision inspires your prayer life. Your vision. The things you'll have to pray about. Your vision will inspire your prayer life. Why should people pray the way they are praying? It's because of what they are seeing. Where they are going to. You must keep expanding and keep spreading. Keep spreading. What's your vision for houses? A church
that is growing and spreading will multiply in units. Units. Some call it cells. Some call it house fellowship. Some call it whatever. Acts 20:20. Paul says, I taught you house to house and publicly. It's a model in the book of Acts. Acts 5:42. House to house, publicly. Which means that the churches must be ready to break up into units. Units. Why? Because in the house to house, you are able to oversee people closely or closer than the public meetings. Oversight requires close mentoring. Close mentoring. Close discipleship. So you are growing. You are spreading. You are expanding. Into smaller units. And not just about teaching. In prayers. Brother Higgin was sharing. I was interviewing the other day. He said they used to have prayers, prayer times. Then they broke it into prayer groups. I never knew. I used to think I heard it from Lynn Amon that began it. He said no. Since the 80s. That they break into groups. So there was prayer going on every day on the campus of Rema. Every day. In groups of fives, tens, people will come in. Why? Because it's a pattern we saw even in Moses, Exodus 18. You break into smaller groups to pray, to teach, to evangelize. Plan it from the start. Plan it from the start. Thank God for those public meetings when we are all here and the whole halls are filled up and the auditoriums are filled up because we're going to be having that more and more. The stadiums are filled up. But if we're going to keep increasing and making disciples, we have to spread out. Spread out into smaller units of prayer, teaching, and evangelism. Hallelujah. As we're doing that, we keep training men. We keep training men. We keep training men. Don't forget, I told you, you don't stop evangelism for prayer. You don't stop prayer for evangelism. You don't stop evangelism to raise men. You do everything together. The training must involve evangelism. The evangelism must involve training. The prayer must involve evangelism. The evangelism must involve prayer. The training must involve prayer. The prayer must involve training. You work it out together. Keep expanding. Keep expanding. Hallelujah. If you do that, you train skilled men. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16. I've heard someone say before that the idea of having house churches was Jewish. I said, but Ephesus wasn't Jewish. Rome wasn't Jewish. In Romans 16. Likewise, verse 5, the church in their house. Verse 10, them which are of the Aristobulus household. Then verse 11, the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. You see, that consistent thing by Paul, verse 16, the churches of Christ, he says, they salute you. So the concept of breaking up church into units is highly biblical. Highly biblical. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Same thing he repeated here with the church that is in their house. Which means the churches were in units. Just like the church in Ephesus and the church in Crete. He says churches in every city. So which means that we have to start looking at the locations. 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 Hallelujah. The locations, we spread into them. We expand into them. We reach out into them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as this is going on, you are developing experience. Experience. Don't waste it. Experience.
Let me give you a few instructions before we close on this. Ensure you guard your heart as you grow. Never let self get in the way of the work. Self can come in form of your ambitions. Self can come in form of your troubles that you want to solve. Self can come in form of your appetites. Money, sex, entertainment. Don't allow it to get in the way. Paul says, the time will come. Even those who are ordained of God, they will be affected in their hearts. Acts 20:30. Hallelujah. So you have to watch over your heart. Say, I watch over my heart. Your heart is very important. And how do you guard your heart? Watch the things that you hear. There are people, as they start talking, you disconnect. You know, I was talking to a minister one day and I said, you want to encourage young pastors? He said, yes. And you are preaching against honor in the local churches. Are you so inexperienced? And you're preaching against commitment by what you are saying and loyalty in the local church. I said, I know what it means to start a church. I've had to start again, not once. You are not helping anyone by these things you are saying. Because you are talking to younger people who are just starting. They are elderly people that you can address. These are younger people. I said, this is the wrong thing. This is the wrong message. There are some things is the right message, but at the wrong time. To the wrong people. They said, well, I heard some things. It doesn't matter what you hear. You can't say this to a young church. A guy was talking to me. He said, well, that there are too much activities in the church. I said, it's a new church. And oftentimes in a new church, you'll find few people working. So because people are working, it will look like it's very strenuous. I'm talking from experience. It's going to look very strenuous. Few people will be doing the work many people should be doing. I said, boys, for a time. Oftentimes in every local church, those first persons, they do so much that sometimes we don't even recognize it. They bear the brunt of mistakes, errors, tests and trials many times. And God is still building them. So it's not right for a senior minister to now discourage that process. No, it's wrong. I said there are things you don't say to young people. You don't say that in the name of you want to explain and solve a problem. I said if you're going to do a surgery, if you go into a surgery, a surgical theater, you don't just butcher. You carefully say it. When you talk, look at the implications. By the time you start raising suspicion and start saying things, then the people will be going to their churches rather than be committed to their work. They'll be suspecting their leaders. I said, the word of God cannot grow that way. I know what I'm saying. An experienced minister is never scared of mistakes. This is part of the process. At all. Because I grew, and let me say something. Many ministers that start ministry in their teenage years usually have moments where they make stupid errors. I'm saying almost everyone. Look at David. Solomon. They make errors. You almost wonder, shouldn't he have known this? But you are judging wrongly. If you look at your own life, everybody has their own mistakes. None of us has an excellent past. None. Only hypocrites will stand in judgment over others of things that he knows that he could have done worse. So it's normal. He's a young man. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, flee youthful lust. That means they are youthful lust. Because you have the call of God upon your life does not mean you are not young. You are young. You will have the tendencies of a young person. But the role of the elderly is to guard you. To ensure that no shame comes to you. To ensure that you are not exposed to wounds. And that the work God committed to your trust begins to prosper. That's the role the elderly should play. Why would you? And I saw some folks. They were sharing some things. I said, you're a young, why should you feed your congregation this? But I have a policy. If I cancel you once, you don't like it, I just look away. Whatever you get from it, it is your lot. There are some wrong things. Sorry, right things, but the wrong time. And to the wrong people. Remember one sister like that, 1998, in that church I mentioned that I pastored temporarily. So, she was caught in a very, very difficult scene. So the leaders came to me and told me, so, what do we do and all that. I didn't see anything. They said, so what we talked about, I didn't say anything. The next Sunday, I'd never done it before. I just called her to come and preach. I was more particular about her staying in the ministry than satisfying their demands. I corrected her later, rebuked her, but ensured that she did not in any way get discouraged to fulfill God's plan. Everyone God used in scripture, they were men with their faults. I am not a fault finder. What about you? I don't have that kind of ministry. I don't have that kind of ministry. I don't. That's why, if you observe me, my focus is on Bible doctrine. I don't have time to start preaching reactionary messages against people and start preaching from rumors. I don't do that. I don't have that kind of time. I've got too much rank for that. See? So I said, don't feed people these kind of things. It's the same way. So I said, well, we believe in honor and loyalty, but, you know, he's being taught in extreme. I said, you are doing the same things those who said the grace message is bringing licentious. It's the same thing you are doing. People are yet to understand the subject. You are giving them the exceptions. They are yet to know it. People are yet to pray. You are telling them, but sometimes we should be careful of prayer. Have they even prayed? Many people who are pro-word, doctrine, they are yet to understand honor and loyalty. They don't even know what it is. They are trying to grapple it. You are giving them some examples, some excess, some extreme. Come off it! Let it sink first. It's only a dishonest person that teaches something from the excess. Every truth has an excess. Everyone. But you don't begin with the excess. Let people first of all. Paul did not talk about speaking in tongues and not interpreting it to Corinth. That's not how he started. He had said he knew that they came behind in no gifts. Careful the stupid things you expose your congregation to. Be careful. I don't deal in theories. I don't do, you see, if something doesn't work, it doesn't work. I don't deal with things that don't work. I don't deal with them, right? This doesn't make sense. This doesn't work. You know, the way some people talk about ministry is like you are in a room. They can't think outside it. So you have to be careful the things you expose your mind to. I love positive things. What about you? I love to hear positive things because the gospel is a positive message. Peter Way says the gospel is a positive word. I love that. Positive word. So guard your heart and watch the flock too. Watch the flock. You have a duty to watch the flock. I must say, I don't warn people of preachers. I don't do it. The reason why I don't do it is because people oftentimes follow their curiosities. That's just a fact. Because if you look at the history of this country, even the body of Christ, the moment they pick on a preacher like that and start talking about him, people start going there. It's just inexperience, but I don't know this. So I don't do it. Apart from that, I don't have personal fights with anybody, so I don't do that. So I just teach. But there's nothing wrong in a shepherd warning the flock on a minister. I don't have any grouse with any preacher that says, don't listen to that guy, he's a false teacher. My duty is not to fight back. Is to ensure I'm not false. I don't fight back. It doesn't matter. He has a duty. Why did he say it? Maybe he heard something he didn't understand. Maybe he saw something he couldn't explain. Maybe he heard something about me. It doesn't matter. What is important is that I should not be false. So I don't have any grouse. A guy told me, he said, this guy used to come for this conference. So somebody told me, say, oh, well, he told his church members not to come for World Changers Conference. I said, there's nothing wrong in it. He said, yes. I said, because World Changers Conference is my sense community church. What if this church has their own program? Would they now abandon their program and come to us? No, I have no qualms with that. At all. That's unnecessary. Churches are run by different individuals with different pastors. And who knows what God has told him to do? Hallelujah. I don't preach out of suspicion. Don't do it. The young church, it's normal. There will be pressure. They'll be doing many meetings because they want to, you know, it's like the starting stages of a house. You are trying to build, trying to plant, trying to ensure, you know, that this is, are we doing the right thing, you know, until you start seeing things grow. So it's normal. So when I see young people like that, my job is to encourage them. Because I've been there, and I'm still there though, I'm still young. Just, you are younger than I am for many of you. So I keep there, just keep at it, don't worry. Some will come and share things they think is big, big devil. I said, this one is a small devil, this is mosquito devil. Don't worry. Relax. That's my job. That's your job to younger people. Not to begin to preach stupid things. Stupid things. That will do nothing but discourage. Bring lack of commitment. Bring suspicion in the churches. Then before you know it, you now start prophesying. For you are lazy, says the Lord. You should work hard. Are you not the Lord that made them lazy? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you watch what you listen to. When a preacher's message is all about the body of Christ has missed it. Let me hear the one that says the body of Christ is doing it right. Hallelujah. The body of Christ, you are saying, is always missing it. Someone say, we need revival. God needs to move. You are the one that needs to move. God is moving in places. Move to the place. Hallelujah. Find out where he's moving and go there. Someone say, I can't see fire in the churches. Come here, you see. Hallelujah. You are in the wrong place. Glory to God. So watch the things that you hear. And also watch over the flock. You have the duty to watch the flock. Hear what I'm about to say. And I'm giving you a standing order. Pray every day for the flock. What did I say? Henceforth, for every new member of the church, have a prayer book. Write their names and the days you'll be praying for them. You hear me? Carry them on your chest. Now, as the church begins to grow, you won't be able to do that for everyone. But you know what? As you are praying for the leaders, they are praying for those under them. That's how it goes. So everyone has people they are praying for. But you must pray daily. What did I say? I'm giving you what? A standing order. When you come here, I talk to you. Because when you came here, it means that you regard me and what I say. I'm talking to you. Pray every day. Every day. No matter how busy your schedule is. Pray every day for the work, for the members, for the workers, for your associates.
I love something Prophet Obara said years ago. He said, that is, if you have not gotten answers, pray again. He now said another one. Pray so that you will not pray. You pray. Then you pray again. So pray every day. Number two. Teach every day. Now, I'm not asking you to have programs every day. No. Or service every day. But at least have things that the members listen to daily. That's why churches like the Christ Embassy, they have their Rhapsody of Realities. Redeemed Children's Church, they have Open Heavens. Kenneth Hagin has Faith Food. Kenneth Copeland has, in the pursuit of his presence, you have our Daily Bread. Different churches. Our friend, I think the pastor has Christocentric Meal. The essence is to ensure that people are studying the Word of God. The Christ Community has what you call the study group, where every week we give you what to listen to, and you listen every day. So pray daily, teach daily, which means people must hear God's word daily. Lead them daily. Know that there's no time in your life you're not leading them. Lead. Lead. What it means is be the inspiration of everything that you teach. Care every day. Care every day. Have you seen an abandoned building before? No matter how beautiful it looks. How beautiful. Recently I went to a family house of ours. And you know, that family house we had, you know, this particular room that was the room of my dad's elder brother. And the room was like Aso Villa. And everybody, you know, we go there at occasion. But for many years, since my dad passed on 12 years ago, no one was using the place anymore. And most of my cousins, we are going to the uttermost part of the earth. So I went to check the place. Abandoned. Everything was dusty. The roof was caving in. Things were, a house that was like the glory of the area at some point. Why? It was abandoned. Things were not done there daily. Daily teaching, daily praying. God wants the flock to be fed daily, to be cared for daily. Imagine what an abandoned building will look like. Abandoned house. An abandoned car. Left for 6 months. 1 year. What about an abandoned crop? It will die. Abandoned sheep will go astray. Abandoned kids. They will begin to do things on their own. And then before you know it, you may have accidents in the house. So you must pray daily. Teach daily. Lead daily. Care daily. It's your job. Ministry is full time. What did I say? Full time doesn't mean you don't have work that you do. Paul was full time. He had things he was doing and all the apostles. Full time means you are dedicated to it. Or else, you have an abandoned building, abandoned flock, abandoned crop, abandoned children. No one likes that. Imagine seeing a baby on a 2-year-old boy on the road. Where are you? And he's just walking. You get, where are you from? Where? Say, my daddy left the house 3 weeks ago and he opened the door. You know, in some well-developed countries, they will arrest the parents. They will arrest the parents. Because you are irresponsible. Imagine the kids wandering all over the place. On social media, going all over the place. As an abandoned child. When you see people who are everywhere on social media, is lack of a shepherd. I've told you, know who your pastor is on Facebook. Some people are there looking for members. Right? People are looking for following. Know who your pastor is. Know the voice you listen to. Some of you got so funny. You were listening to comedians over your pastors. Comedians? Your pastor will say something. A comedian will say something else. You believe the comedian. What possessed you? Or a musician
will talk anyhow and speak anyhow, and you take their verbiage, their words, and your pastor is talking, and you abandon that. That is being cursed. What went over you? Who do you think you are? Anywhere you are, you must represent your church well. Your church is your identity in Christ. That is why Jesus rebuked the seven churches together. So who you are in Christ involves your local church. You will not bring shame to your church. And pastors, you also not bring shame to your flock. In the name of Jesus, we must not bring shame to ourselves. You have a shepherd. You behave yourself well. In your office, they should know you are in a local church. You have a pastor. They should know. They should know. You must live a life of honor. Not just, you know, a pretentious one. Let me tell you something. God does not joke with honor. I've told you before. I mustn't oversay it. It doesn't. God only blesses those who honor the people he uses. I tell people, look up, let me share something with you. You see, some things I like, I don't know about you, I think. You know, let us put aside spiritual things for now. If they ask you, what is the greatest miracle in the world, apart from healing, raising the dead, I'm saying a miracle. They say the miracle of giving birth to children. That is, you say, God, the creator, say he created that boy, that child. But do you know he used a man? In other words, the creative ability of God relies on two people who will decide to have children. Think about that. Of how much God works with man. Think about that. Even the new birth. How did you receive Christ? If not all of us, most of us, somebody spoke to us. That means the most important event in your life, while you are here today, God used someone. You can go on and on. So why would I be finding fault? Why would I be looking for reasons not to receive from people? And let me tell you something. When you see people fighting in a church, fighting the pastors. Now I know some people, the pastors give them problems. I don't have doubt with that. Fighting here is not the person that is a problem. Oftentimes they have an attitude. An attitude. That is why, hear me, don't make your church the habitation of the rebellious. They will make you grow old in one day. The kind of problems I know in the Bible, they will give you. I'm telling you. So don't joke with it. Towards people, towards friends. I've told you, honor your spouse. Your spouse is a man of God, a woman of God. Honor your siblings. Honor your congregation. They are men of God too. Treat them with honor. I won't fail to share this story. Someone very close to me was in a critical situation, sickness wise. And we had prayed over it. We had trusted God. We had believed God. Close to me. And then someone else that I didn't know just asked the cousin or so to reach out to me on Facebook and just pray over her. And said, call Pastor Noyinka, so and so and so. He's on Facebook. So the guy reached out to me and gave me the number. So I called. In fact, that day, I think it was one of those, it was Asenwenga era, but it was one of those games of Arsenal that it almost affected the unction within. Let me tell you, pray for my club. It affects my ministry. You know I'm telling you now. Okay. I know what I'm saying, though. You know, when I was younger, when Nigeria loses a game, I won't eat for days. One time I saw this, the Flying Eagles to the airport. We were going to Chile 87. I saw them to the airport. I was really happy. I said, Eti Messing, you get best player, Adeolu Adekola, greatest scorer. And the first game, 4-0. I felt sick. I was sick. I was throwing up. My grandmother said, is it football that wants to kill you? I was really crying. So when I saw my son too, he was crying one day. When Arsenal was beaten, he was crying. The mom called me and said, come and take your problem. This guy is crying. I took him home. I said, relax, relax, relax. I said, you know, they also beat Real Madrid today. He said, Wenger. So years later, he now knows how to analyze. I said, you are now an Arsenal fan. You know, recently I told him, I said, Arteta out. He said, Daddy, don't talk like that. I don't expect that to come from you. Don't say things like that. Trust the process. I said, ah, why should it? Arsenal fan. I said, trust the process. I said, I'll trust the process. You get it? How did I ever get to this now? So, I was called that day, and I think it was one of those games. He said, pray. I said, pray for who? Pray about who? I just took the number. I said, okay, in Jesus' name, come back, be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Sean died. So I dropped the phone. She came back to consciousness. Why? It's called honor. So I went to ask Brother Oaks. I said, this is confusing. He said, the relative of yours, what does the person call you? I said, oh, that's true. So what did that person call you? He said, it's how you see people. It's how you see the person. That's why you must guard your heart a lot. It's how you see the person. See your wife as a woman of God. See your husband as a man of God. See your cousin as a man of God. See your daughter, your son. My mom, I say, it's been 25 years that she called me my name. My mom, she doesn't. She doesn't. In fact, she grew worse after a while. You know, Yoruba, you use air. Here I use air. I say, cool down now. What's all this? It's been 25 years. One day I asked her in the 90s. She shared an experience with me that she had. I've said it to some people before, but I won't say it here. I said, She never did. She never does. And she's always praying. Always praying. So you see, learn simple things. Simple things. Don't allow somebody from another church to tell you how to relate in your own church. Did you hear me? Say, that's your own church. Where you use nickname for your pastor. Pastor K. Others can call your pastor Pastor K. They can call your pastor Rabbi. Your pastor is not Rabbi. He's Pastor. They can say Pastor Dan. If they say Pastor Dan, that means the person is identifying him. But your pastor is not Pastor Dan. Your pastor is Pastor. Very simple things. Just like Daddy. Do you call your daddy Daddy Shego? He's Daddy. It's when your father is among God that they want to differentiate him. They say Daddy Shego. Are you trying to differentiate your father? Pastor. Learn simple principles. You call me Pastor Shegun, but your pastor, who is my friend, is Pastor. So when you say, Pastor said I should talk to you, I know who you are talking about. I have to call someone and say, I came from Pastor, so I said, come back. Mm-mm. You don't call your pastor like that. You call your pastor, Pastor. It's me that you put the other name. Okay? Say, thank you, sir. Simple principles. Who understood what I just said now? Is it very clear? Simple things like that. Don't fail. Is that very clear? Very good. So, we oversee the flock daily. After you come back from work and you're about to sleep, remember, where is
Fumio. Okay. She must be, okay, where's John? They must always be on your heart. It's like a father and his children. It's like God and us. It's like, you know, when the Bible says that he has put us in the middle of the palm of his hands, that means to always look at our faces. That is how a shepherd is. Hallelujah. Looking out. So, don't have abandoned buildings, abandoned crop, abandoned sheep, abandoned kids. From the onset, take the job seriously. It's a new work, I know. Take the job seriously. Don't dress shabbily there. Dress properly. I know it's four people you are going to talk to, but dress properly. Get there early. In those days, I'll get to the venue early. 1 hour before, I'll open the place. I'll be praying. 1 hour before. And at the end of the day, two people will come. I didn't stop. Honor the church. Take the work seriously from the first day. Because you know where you are going to. Hallelujah. You dress for where you are going to. You talk for where you are going to. You pray for where you are going to. You act for where you are going to. A preacher once said to me, he said he doesn't believe that a church that is large is teaching the word. That was the last time I heard from him. I said, no. I'm sorry. He said, when you see people, they have compromised the word. I said, never again. Because you will pick up that attitude. You will pick up that same vision unconsciously. I said, no, not this kind of person. Never. At all. The kind of friends I surround myself with were talking about the whole world. Hallelujah. We are always talking about the whole world. The whole world. Praying, believing God. Hallelujah. About the whole world. So when we are talking, we are on the same frequency. We know what we are talking about. I said, this one? Never. This one doesn't have, this is not going to where I'm going to. No matter how fast you go, if you go to the wrong place, you get to the wrong place. If you go to the wrong route, you get the wrong destination. No matter how fast you go, if you're on the wrong lane, you get to the wrong place. It's not how fast you go, it's how right is where your path is going to. Or the lane you are on. So don't forget that. Hope you are learning something here. Said, hope you are learning something here. Get ready for Satan. That's not something you want to hear, right? Get ready for what? Satan. Satan does not appear in the clouds. Satan comes through men. And some of them will be very close to you. Get ready for the opposition of the devil. Almost 25 years ago, 26 years ago, was when I first experienced, 25 years ago, they would tear your posters. I mean, they had people go to tear the posters. Go and tear it. Go and tear the place. One time like that, a member of our church was a ministry there, was the secretary of the local government. So the guy used to give us the hall. Free. We're enjoying it. So because we're enjoying free hall, we're doing many meetings. Many meetings. That's where we're led to do Holy Ghost meeting, believers meeting. Prayer meetings. So someone just got really angry. A preacher went to meet the chairman. Said they are giving them the venue free. Said, and they are doing this, they are doing that. They are teaching people not to obey their parents, not to obey the authorities. I don't know where he got that from. And then they went to shut the place. They locked it. They locked it up. In fact, that day I think we had opened the place, set the chairs to go and get our brethren. We and the brethren just came before he shut the door. And we just stayed outside the tree and continued. Satan will be discouraged at you. You will never encourage Satan. So don't cry. Right? Just laugh and proceed further. Resilient Christians run the devil mad. Hallelujah. I just said, let's continue. That's all.
Get ready for the devil. Get ready for lies. There's no genuine preacher that has never been called fake. Not one. Jesus was called fake. Paul was called fake. Get ready for the devil. Look at something. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And the same instance, Satan, you know, had to influence the thoughts of Peter. In the same breath. Again, in Luke 22, 31 and 32, he said, Satan has come again, oh, he has desired to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. So, there is no time. Satan will not come for what you are doing. So, you must be on guard all the time. You must be what? You must be on guard where? All the time. And those of you who are associate pastors, I have a word for you. Hear me. Satan would like to get through your pastor through you. You have to ensure that you protect your leaders. Some people will want to get information from you. They want to ask you. I know pastors, hear me well, who plant people in churches to get information. I'm not telling you something I guessed. It's something I know. I don't know why they do that. Do they have information about different churches? One minister was telling me about the pastor. He said, they meet us also and so. There was somebody, a member of the church. He used to work in this bank. He moved. I said, how did you know all of that? Things that are occurrences in the local church. That even the guy one time wanted to come with his wife. But then he didn't go. How did you know such detail? Anaginosko. He was so detailed. How are you so detailed that the guy got there 10 o'clock, 11 by 1? Ha! You planted people in a church to give you information. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. And the guy did not know who was giving the information that they were using. Be careful. And you as a pastor, Satan is 24 hours wanting to discourage you, distract you. Get ready for Satan. Never lose your guard. What did I say? Never lose your guard. Never lose your guard. Satan will always come to discourage you. He'll bring incidences. Sometimes he will come through your business. You have bad business deals. Bad days at the office. Sometimes you have challenges in your workplace. Sometimes in the family. Be on guard. Ensure that nothing takes your attention away. Don't forget. Let me close here. What do you see? You see the vision of Jesus. You see the work. You have a vision of an expansion. A spread. Multiplied disciples. Miracles, signs and wonders. You see millions of ministers arise all over the world to preach the word. That is what you should keep your eyes on. Keep your eyes there. Pray with it. Fast with it. From the first day the work starts, tell yourself, it's from here to the uttermost. From the first day you start, say it's from here to the end of the earth. Because words have power. And keep saying it in the services. I remember one day I was teaching in a room. And I said to those in the room, we're four. I said, what I'm teaching now will be heard all over the world. I told them. I said they will hear it all over the world. It was in a room. If I were using lantern, it all over the world. So whether you are there or not doesn't matter.
But you'll hear about it. I wasn't just making mouths. I was seeing things that came from the place of prayer. So you must never say something negative about the work. Did you hear me? Never say anything negative about it. It will grow, expand, and spread. We're in a time of supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Pray over what you just heard now. Pray over it. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and pray. Pray over it. Pray. Pray. Pray over it. What number are you seeing for 2021? How many churches do you want to found? How many ministers, disciples are you seeing? Speak it out now. Under this unction, in this cloud. This is the right time to say it. Speak it out now. This is what I expect. This is what I desire. This is what I see. Right now. Glory of the Lord. Glory all around. Say that, come on. His mighty presence in us, through us, fills the air. Feels the